Welcome to Hype episode 168. My name is Selena. I'm joined for this Thanksgiving week by Pam. Hello, Pam.
Hello.
I love how I've been like telling people Happy Thanksgiving all week and I'm like Danish.
I know. But it's really about me.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is not, we're recording on Wednesday. Thanksgiving is not until tomorrow. So, and like the year has gone by so fast, I can't believe that it's already here. So it's kind of like,
I know.
Yeah.
How quickly time passes is like insane to me. I feel like for the past couple of years, it's been really extreme, but I actually, apparently it's going to keep getting worse because this is like a total tangent to start the show. And I might've told this story once already, but the reason that every year feels quicker than the one before is because they're like a smaller overall part of your life. So like when you were one, a whole year was like your whole life. And then when you were 2 years old, it was only half your life. And now it's like you're in your 20s or whatever, and it's like 1/20th of your life. So it actually, every year does get shorter from your perspective.
That's so depressing.
So that's a mind trip for you.
Yeah, I want to live forever. So yeah. I don't know how that's...
Yeah, but your years are just going to keep getting shorter and shorter. And then suddenly you're 90 and a year is going to be like a 90th of your life. And then... Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
There's some fun conversation to mull over while you're digesting your food. Keep things away from bad things like politics, you know? Just be like, hey, did you know?
Absolutely. This is continuing our slightly ironic theme this week, actually. We do have some good stories to get into this week. We have some fun new movie trailers and some TV discussion and stuff like that. And then if you are a Patreon and you follow us or you support our show with $2 or more over on patreon.com/hypepodcast, our bonus discussion of the week is actually going to be a little bit of a deep dive into some of the controversies that have been going on in Hollywood with the allegations of sexual abuse and harassment that have been coming out again. Some of these big Hollywood personas, and it's something that we on Hype, we've kind of not tried to keep away from the regular show, partly because it's not really a conversation that you can have in like a short amount of time, but also because it feels like, you know, we don't want to ignore or downplay these issues at all, but we also want Hype to be a space where maybe you don't have to be confronted with all of these issues all of a sudden, but it is something we have wanted to give a bit more attention. So we are going to be devoting our bonus discussion to that. So you can, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can head on over to patreon.com/hypepodcast if you want to access it, or you can choose not to. It's up to you. So we hope that you appreciate that. And if you are not a patron, or if you are a patron, there are several other ways that you can contact us with your thoughts on this episode or anything else related to the show. You can send us an email, which is hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Instagram, which is Hype Podcasts. And you can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypeable.com. And leave a comment in the podcast section. We actually have a comment from there this week. So people are rediscovering that that is now possible again. So we'll have to make sure that we check that, actually. But we'll get to all of your feedback later in the show. As always, we're going to start with How We Hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. And Pam, this How We Hype has been in the works for like years, I feel like. I'm so excited.
I know, you guys, this is like preemptive hype for Disney Pixar's Coco, because like Selena teased, we've been talking about this movie for years, literally years, and it's finally coming out. It actually hits theaters today, Wednesday, the 22nd of November, and I have still only seen the first 35 minutes. Oh. I'm going tonight with family, or like a friend family, you know. But yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody that it's out in theaters, and it's like, it's so beautiful. Like, I obviously I've only seen like half the movie, but the half that I've seen is just really beautiful. And the attention to detail is lovely. Obviously, it resonates with me for very personal reasons. My family is part Mexican, and we grew up with a lot of those values instilled in us, thanks to my grandmother, who is still the matriarch of our family. So this movie means a lot to me because I think in a time when it's really easy to pay attention to like negative light that's shined onto different cultures that are different from us, this is a really lovely film that shines a positive light on the Mexican community. So it's important for that reason. It's important because it'll, you know, teach you maybe a little bit about a different culture you might not know about. I think like the Mexican culture is very prevalent in California because we're so close to the border, but maybe if you're not close to Mexico, you might learn a little bit of something about the traditions and the values while also getting a really fun story. And even if you don't resonate with those cultures, it's still got some wonderful universal themes of family and friendship and following your dreams and probably bring the tissues because, you know, it's Disney Pixar, so you'll probably cry. But yeah, head on out to see Coco and then tweet at me and let me know what you think because I'll be excited to talk about it after I see it.
Yay, I can't wait until next week and for part two of your review. It's nice.
I know. I was trying to get out to a screener and they only had screeners in LA. Like, I can't go to LA just for a screener. Like, maybe if it was like a junket too, but that's okay.
Are you gonna, you know, that big set visit you did? Have you posted everything from that or is there some still coming?
I think so. I have one more piece. Ariella, who is our movie reviewer, she's got a review going up, I believe, sometime today. I have one last piece that I might post, but I kind of want to wait until I've seen the whole movie because I feel like I can't really like complete it until I've seen it. You know, but it'll be a little bit more, yeah, like a personal opinion piece, I guess, on the film. So it'll be quite different from hers. And that should hopefully be going up. I might save it for Monday. I feel like everybody kind of checks out in the days leading up to Thanksgiving. But sometime next week, hopefully, if it all goes well. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for that, Howie Hype. And I hope our listeners enjoy the movie as well. Moving into news now, we have some fun stuff to get into. And the first one is actually yours as well.
Yes. Here's another Disney movie we've been extremely excited for quite a while. We got a new full-length teaser trailer for A Wrinkle in Time, which is, of course, based off of Madeline L'Engle's famous sci-fi fantasy children's novel. And, you know, we haven't read the book, right? You haven't read it yet without me, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, we keep saying that we're going to read it, and we should probably, because I feel like this movie, this trailer might make a little bit more sense for somebody that has read the book. But coming from somebody who hasn't read it, it's just a really fun peek into what we can expect. The trailer really sets the foundation for the movie, which follows the story of a girl whose father, who's a scientist, he's played by Chris Pine, disappears. And it turns out that he's trapped by an evil energy and he might not be dead. She enters this different realm in the universe where she meets three majestic beings played by Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling, and Oprah. And they inform her that they think her father's alive and they're going to help her find him. But she's the one that's got to defeat the evil energy that he's trapped by. So the trailer kind of sets things up from there. It's a really, really fun watch. We get a great first look at some of the phenomenal actors that are going to be in this movie. And I'm really excited for this. I love Ava DuVernay as a director. I love so many of these actors. I think like we all do. Yeah. So it's going to be really fun to check this out. And hopefully we have time to read the book before the movie comes out. It hits theaters on March 9th. So Selena, we got to get a move on.
Yeah. We're busy, okay?
I know. We're fighting dragons over here.
Right. Literal dragons. We have Merlin up to both ears.
I know. We're up to our ears and Merlin.
We'll get into that later, yeah. But no, I'm so excited. This trailer is beautiful. And it not only is it beautiful, but I feel like, you know, Ava DuVernay is fantastic. She really is fantastic. And there's something about this movie that, or this trailer at least, that has me really excited because there's no trace of hokiness. There's no trace of, oh, this is a fun, like, whatever, kids movie. Like, sometimes those are, like, even if they're sweet, they're very much like, this is fun for kids. You know what I mean? Like, there's none of that. It really just looks like a good movie. And Storm Reid in the lead role, I think she's going to be phenomenal. I'm really excited to see what she does. Just based by the trailer, she's going to be really good. And yeah, this is just going to be wonderful to see. And it's so rare these days, it feels like, that we get something which is just purely wonderful. So we shouldn't take that for granted either. I'm very, very, very thrilled for this.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's one of those timeless tales that's been around for so long. I think the original book was published in the 70s. So it's kind of like this timeless children's classic brought to life in a whole new way. And mm-hmm. and I feel like I want to say it's been adapted before in the past into the movie genre. But it'll just be really fun to see what they do with it. And then hopefully we'll be able to read the book too, even if we do it after the movie comes out, and just kind of get a feel for how they went about adapting the story. I think that'll be really fun too.
Absolutely. So moving on, we have some more Fantastic Beasts news. We had a rather lengthy discussion of the movie in our hype bonus segment on Patreon last week. And we did dive a little bit into some of the news surrounding the title. It's of course called The Crimes of Grindelwald, and the first look at the cast that we got last week. And now via Entertainment Weekly, there's a new interview with David Heyman, who is of course the producer. He was also the producer of Harry Potter. It's not a super detailed interview, but there are some fun little details in here. We learned that The Crimes of Grindelwald will be more like a thriller. He said that it's a story about love and passion and all its forms, paternal, romantic, political. So paternal, first of all, is an interesting word. He also says that while we will be in Paris, London, New York, and we'll see the world sort of expanding, he does say that the film will primarily be actually almost entirely be taking place in Paris. He says that it's just a thrilling and very fun adventure. We took all we've learned from one and just expanded that and created a richer, deeper, and more thrilling film, which I'm excited to be a part of. So first of all, how do you feel about it mostly being in Paris?
Oh, I'm such a sucker for Paris in the 20s and the 30s, you know? I mean, like, all of the greats were over there. Not that has anything to do with that, but just, you know, one of my favorite Hemingway books ever is actually an autobiographical piece called The Movable Feast. And if you want to get a feel for, like, I guess what we would call Muggle Paris nowadays and book form and just all of the great minds that were there, I would read A Movable Feast. But yeah, I mean, like, we know that J.K. Rowling pulls a lot of inspiration from real life. So I kind of wonder if she decided to base it there because Paris really was an epicenter for a lot of different thought processes, especially in that time. It's where, like, expats were going when they didn't agree with other things that were going on. So maybe it kind of makes sense in the grand scheme of things, or maybe I'm just reaching here. But yeah, I don't know. I have to wait and see. If the story makes sense to take place there, that's fine with me. I will be curious to know if we hear a little bit of Beauxbatons, because we know that that's not the Parisian school, but the French school.
I would be surprised if we didn't get some Beauxbatons, or maybe like a little bit disappointed, because it would feel like obvious to get something of that. But maybe just because it's the one piece of the French Wizarding World that we know, so maybe it's not obvious for the film. Maybe it's just for us. But yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously J.K. Rowling is a big fan of Paris. I'm wondering now if maybe we're gonna go to like Portugal's, you know, like that, kind of do a trek of her life in a way in these movies.
A tour to Europe.
A tour of J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World. Yeah, it that would be kind of fun, and I think you also do wonder, because obviously New York is New York, and we know that J.K. Rowling has lived and traveled in Europe a whole lot. But I do wonder, because when we first got that list of the magical schools around the world, and she, you know, she gave us one in Africa, she gave us one in Asia, I wonder if the Fantastic Beasts movies will ever go there, or if she'll stay clear of that, like both to keep it like Western, but also just because diving into cultures like that is like a little bit of a minefield. So I'm very curious to see just how, you know, when Heyman says the world is expanding, what does that mean? Like, where is it expanding to? What are the limits of this expansion? And how would they go about tackling moving to a completely different part of the world? Or are we sort of going along the, well, this is a World War II parallel, so we're going to stick with the Western area. Are we going to see Eastern Europe as well? You know, that's another thing that might be fun. Or not fun, you know what I mean? It might be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you're totally right. Like, why would she go through the trouble of expanding the world so much so as to tell us about all of these other wizarding schools that are, that do exist in different parts of the world, if we're not going to at least hear of them. I mean, visiting mm-hmm. them would be really cool, but I don't know how, that's the thing about Fantastic Beasts is we don't really know how vast the universe is going. We know how vast the universe could span, but we don't know how much of it we'll see. It's kind of the same with Harry Potter. We see only a slice of the wizarding world through Harry's eyes, but it's so much bigger than we can wrap our brains around. So,
yeah. And actually just one more note, because I just realized about Beauxbatons, like one thing that might count in favor of us seeing it is that when Fantastic Beasts was gearing up, obviously that was when we learned so much about Ilvermorny. You know, we got so much lore. We got so much backstory, and I know that tied directly into the Peveril brothers, and it tied directly into the story we knew, and Hogwarts. But if we're going to Paris, and if this is going to be like the quote-unquote Paris movie, then this would be a perfect opportunity for her to dive deeper into Beauxbatons. You know, we don't know anything about Beauxbatons, really, beyond what they vaguely told us in Goblet of Fire, right? So I would be very curious, like, do they sort, you know, what is their magical sport? What do they do? You know, so that might be fun. Just as a, like, extra textual, not necessarily in the movie itself.
In the movie, too, they made it like an all-girls school, right? That's not the case.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting.
Right.
Well, I guess anything can happen now that we're in the past. They could just, like, explain that away very easily, but...
Right. Like, as much as I like the idea that only girls are wizards in France, it doesn't really make any sense. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, the movies, they're, like, all ridiculously good-looking and all girls.
Yes,
no sense.
But so the other interesting thing that I just quickly wanted to dive into with this one was, you know, Haman says that this is a story about love and passion and all its forms, paternal, romantic, political. So romantic, we get. The political, we also kind of get, I suppose. But paternal? That's an interesting one. Does that mean Dumbledore and Newt, do you think? Do you think there's other fathers? There's not really any fathers in this, is there?
No, but I wonder if, I wonder if that just kind of hints at, like, maybe a resolution amongst the Scamander family. That would be, like, the easiest explanation. Like, we don't know very much about Newt's home life, but given that he's so different from his brother and he always kind of felt like a little bit of an outsider amongst, you know, his fellow English wizards, wouldn't be a stretch to kind
of, maybe he just meant fraternal.
Fraternal. Maybe.
I don't know. That word kind of stuck out to me because I was thinking, well, what is particularly paternal about the Harry Potter series or this particular series? But I don't know. Interesting.
So we have another really exciting trailer that kind of took the internet by storm. This one came out over the weekend, so nobody was really expecting it. But after years and, like, decades, Selena, at least a decade of waiting, we finally have our first look at The Incredibles 2. It's a really short little teaser, but it's super, super fun. It starts off with Jack-Jack, who shows off some of his other superhero skills. This was a big moment too in the Incredibles universe because, you know, at the end of the first film they were still trying to see if Jack-Jack was going to, you know, what kind of powers he was going to grow into, and it looks like he might be the most incredible of the Incredibles, super strength, laser vision, all that good stuff. On top of that, we do know a little bit about what the plot is going to entail, so even though the trailer doesn't, you know, tell us, like, too much of the story, we do know a little bit about what to expect. So in the sequel, we will see Mr. Incredible taking a back seat to his wife, who's going off to be a working woman. He's going to be at home taking care of the kids. But of course, they are not the average family, so they will be fighting a new villain who poses a threat to the entire world. The movie comes out later this summer. It comes out on June 15th, 2018, and it's pretty safe to say that this is one of the most highly anticipated sequels that Disney Pixar has put out in a while. So it'll be really fun to see what they do with it.
I'm excited.
Yeah, everybody seems to really love this. I thought it was a really cute little teaser.
You know what? It's funny you say that because I was surprised by I get that people are really excited for The Incredibles 2. You know, I get that. But this trailer was not really that exciting. I hate to say it, but, like, also because they're billing it as a trailer, they're not billing it as a teaser. So I don't really know what I was expecting, but certainly not like an extended logo and like 5 seconds of Mr. Incredible and the baby, right? So I was a little bit underwhelmed by the trailer, but it doesn't mean that I'm like not excited for the film. I guess I was just, it doesn't really feel like a first look because we didn't really see anything that we haven't seen before, if that makes sense. Because we've seen both of these characters and we've seen Jack-Jack being able to do these things, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Am I wrong?
I know that he, you know, it's been a while since I've seen the first movie. Somebody is frantically screaming, probably while they're listening to this. So I want to say that he does exhibit like some kind of preliminary powers, but it must not be so much unless they completely forgot about that because Mr. Incredible's so excited about it, you know,
yeah,
in the teaser. So it wouldn't make sense for him to have exhibited that much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, there's not much to go off of. It's not like you could unpack this trailer for, you know, hours. But mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's really fun in terms of just like everybody just remembers that it's coming. How could we forget that it's coming? But because we haven't seen anything from this movie at all, it's just kind of nice to see these two characters back on screen and animated in definitely a way we haven't seen them before. So,
definitely.
Yeah. Oh, it's me still.
Yeah.
So I talked last week actually about how I had gone to see Murder on the Orient Express as somebody who has not read the book. I really enjoyed it, but write in and let us know if you have read the book and you thought that this movie was crap, because I would be curious to know why you felt that way. The movie hasn't been out for very long, but 20th Century Fox is already working on a sequel. It's not going to take place on the Orient Express because that would make like no sense in the grand scheme of things, but we will see her famed detective tackle another mystery. It's actually set on the second book in Christie's series on, how do you pronounce his last name? It's Hercule Poirot? I think it's Poirot, too.
Poirot, I guess.
Okay, we'll go with that. Some fancy pronunciation there. So the second book is called Death on the Nile, and in it, he will be attempting to go on vacation in Europe and then find himself in the midst of a love triangle turned sour. So that should be cool. Pretty dramatic. Yeah, no word yet on when we can expect the movie to take, like, not to take place, but to hit theaters. But we do know that they are bringing the writer back from the first movie, Michael Green, who wrote Murder on the Orient Express, is coming back to adapt Death on the Nile. And Kenneth Branagh is not yet officially tied to the sequel, but we're expecting to hear that he'll be back to direct and also to star. So
cool.
Yeah. Some exciting news if you also enjoyed A Murder on the Orient Express. It'll be fun to see who they cast in this one because, you know, obviously you can't bring the same players back. It's a whole new...
Why not? Ooh. Yeah. What happens to them?
Their story's done.
Okay.
You know? That's the thing about mysteries. Everything kind of gets tied up in the end, so...
I guess so. Yeah. Oh, well, interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting news. Agatha Christie fans, I'm sure... If anyone's listening who is an Agatha Christie fan, we'd love to get your perspective on this. Yeah. Because
again, like, I don't know, like, I'm not familiar with Agatha Christie's works, so...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let us move swiftly along now. We have, this is very, I'm very excited about this, and it's really weird because I'm not usually excited for any of these shows, but putting them all together, and I guess it's enough to pique my interest. So the Arrowverse on the CW is getting ready for a big crossover, Crisis on Earth X, and they're, you know, they're bringing all the superhero shows together, and there's a big trailer out, and it looks... so good. Like, really, it looks so good. And I forget where you stand on the Arrowverse shows, but I feel like I've given all three of them, all four of them, a fair shot. But I just don't think they're very good. You know, they just don't catch my interest. It's not my kind of thing. But at the same time, there are individual players in these shows that I do very much enjoy, and probably to the surprise of no one, it's pretty much all the women, like Sarah Lance and Felicity and Iris. I like Supergirl. I like Alex. You know, it's going to be fun. I really enjoy the chemistry between Barry Allen and Supergirl, you know, just as friends. But I think they're very, very fun and sweet together. It looks like it's interesting because it's basically they go to an alternate reality that's full of Nazis. And it's like it's very unsettling to look because I guess this might not be, you know, I know we're obviously all of us are in this really tense political climate, but over here in Europe, like seeing someone doing the Nazi symbol is like I don't even know what to compare it to, but it's basically like a huge faux pas to actually see it on a screen. And, you know, when you go to Germany, if you do the Nazi symbol, you get arrested. You know, it's not a thing you do here. So to see it sort of in a superhero show on the CW really took me aback, even in the trailer. But I'm very interested to see. I am a sucker for like alternate reality, alter egos, you know, like Fringe style. Basically, I think it is amazing. They're gonna have an evil Supergirl, a Nazi Supergirl, which really freaks me out. But I also guess I think it's gonna be interesting to see. So I'm stoked for this. I don't know if you've seen the trailer. I don't know if you're going to come in and trump me with all of your amazing Arrowverse knowledge here. But yeah, as a total non-fan, I'm very excited for this crossover.
I'm not going to come in and trump you because have given all of these a fair shot and I have some that I like more than others, I'm not caught up on any of these.
Yeah.
But every year I tune into the crossovers regardless.
Right.
It's a thing. It's a thing that I do. And I think it's because after you trudge through like the first season, at least, you know, of any of these shows, when it comes time to the crossover, you know who the main players are. You don't really need to know like too much of the background of what's like specifically going on in all of these shows because they'll touch on it, but it's not the main focal point. They're all just there to fight one big bad, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So I think it's like a really easy way to kind of jump back in. So I'll be tuning in again this year. I did enjoy last year the musical crossover with the Music Meister. Mm-hmm. That was great. I loved that.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. Like I feel like these shows, they kind of run in circles a lot of the time, unfortunately. The one that I stuck with the most, the longest, was actually Legends of Tomorrow because it was so silly. But they are like, they're taking all the characters alike away, except obviously Sarah Lance, right? So I have no desire to watch it anymore, but this looks fun. We should also mention, of course, that it is the event that they're all gathering for is Barry and Iris's wedding. It should be a good time. All right, so moving on to our last story in the doc, but we actually have a little surprise bonus story here in a second that I saw just broke on Twitter that we have to get to. But first, I want to talk about The 100. Yay, The 100. Who knows what's going to be released by the time this podcast goes live. But for now, I want to just bring your attention to two new pictures from the forthcoming season 5 trailer that have been released online. And one of them, it's by Jason Rothenberg. He's back, guys. He's on Twitter again. And he's posted a picture of Clark, who's standing. It looks like she's standing in front of a house and she has her gun out and she's looking very determined, whoever she's holding the gun out to. And then we have a picture of Octavia, who's in the bunker and who is just going nuts, and she's covered in blood and she's shouting at somebody. And it looks so good, and I am so excited to see the show, the promotion for the show beginning to gear up. I have a feeling that we're going to get the trailer very, very shortly. And I'm sad that it's not here for us to discuss this week, but it might actually be here next week. Who knows? I don't know if you've seen these pictures, but really good.
And, you know, my favorite thing about these pictures is that they're so in character for both of these girls.
Yes.
It's like, of course, Octavia's covered in blood and looking crazy. Of course, Clark is about to shoot somebody. It's
Yes, you're so right. There's one of the co-hosts of MetaStation, which is a fantastic The 100 podcast, Erin, she posted a Twitter thread of like her expected quote-unquote looks for all of these characters, like based on, because they're so in characters, like based on their personalities, what do we expect them all to look like. And she has like, Kane will look like he's frantically trying to talk someone out of doing something stupid. Raven will look like a badass while surrounded by pieces of machinery. Oh my God, it's so funny. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if they keep releasing small little trailer teasers or if they're just going to drop the trailer one of these days. Who knows? I'm excited. I know there's a lot to look forward to, not only when the show premieres, but just in the next little while. So I hope that everyone's sort of keeping an eye out on social media and stuff because, yay, fun things are happening. I'm excited for this show to come back. And then just one final piece of news that just broke on Twitter. So we want to make sure we talk about it. Jude Law, Dumbledore, aka the new Chris Pine, has just joined Captain Marvel. He's going to be playing the male lead opposite Brie Larson. So this is obviously big news that I wanted to make sure we got in this week because it's so cool. What do you think?
That's amazing. I love Jude Law. We love Jude Law. Yes, let's go for that. That's a go.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say, I did not think this was the story you were going to tack on to the end.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to know what story you think it was in a second, but I just wanted to say it for posterity that obviously there's been a little bit of critique about this casting already, saying that because right now Brie Larson is surrounded, like her character in this movie is being surrounded by like white men. And it's like, it's very Wonder Woman all over again. And I know I'm hoping for more diversity in this film and more women as well for her to interact with. But, you know, we can maybe discuss that a little bit more last week. I like Jude Law. So what did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say that The Good Place is renewed for season 3.
Oh my God. Well, yeah.
Fork, yes.
Fork, yes. Oh my God. This is, you're right. We should talk about this. This is our Thanksgiving special, guys. We're totally unstructured today. Well, I would have posted it, but the news story is not on Hypable, right? So how would I know?
Yeah. I'm actually in the middle of catching up on The Good Place and I'm enjoying it. So yes.
I love The Good Place.
I know, like, it's so good.
It's such a good place. It's so fun. It's a little bit sort of philosophy-esque, you know, provoking you a little bit. And it's just wonderful. And, you know, I've talked a little bit on the show before about like some small specific issues I have with it. But like overall, I just really, really love it. And I'm just so excited that it's going to be coming back for a third season. You know, it's on hiatus right now. It's coming back in January. So we still have some of season 2 to look forward to. But yeah, we don't have to say goodbye for a while. I'm glad. Yay! That was fun. It's like a Thanksgiving surprise.
Yeah, just when you think like we're dessert. Done. Bam, we hit you with another story.
Bam! Turkey!
Turkey. All I'm thinking about is that gift, that the friend's gift that comes up every Thanksgiving where Monica's wearing the turkey on her.
Yes, that's us with more news coming in the door. Okay, if we ever get a new logo, it should be that. Just us with turkey.
Almost as good as the dancing pumpkin man that comes up on Halloween.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So yeah, unless there are any more surprises in store, I guess we should go on to TV show of the week. And you have, oh, I'm excited to hear about this one. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, so Marvel's Runaways finally premiered on Hulu. And full disclosure, have never read the comics. So I'm just going based off of, you know, what I've seen. The first 3 episodes are actually up. And I thought there was only one up. And so I started watching it at like 10 o'clock last night, and then it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, what am I doing with my life? I need to go to bed. But yeah, I watched the first 3 episodes and I really, really liked it a lot. It is like a little slow to start just because they're trying to introduce all of these characters. And then they do this really interesting thing in the second episode where they kind of backtrack a little bit, because the main premise of the story is that there's this group of high school kids. They're the Runaways, right? Or soon to be the Runaways, and their parents, like they used to be friends because their parents all volunteered together, and then they get back together one night when their parents are doing this like this charity volunteer meeting, and when they go in, sneak into the house, they realize that their parents are not actually like doing anything wholesome. They're actually part of this like evil secret society, and the story kind of goes from there. So the first episode kind of sets up all of our main players. And we get a little bit of a sense for who everybody is. And then they discover that their parents are not as, like, wholesome as they thought. And then in the second episode, they backtrack and they kind of show that day of events leading up from the parents' perspective. So you get a little bit more of a background to what it is that they're actually doing. And in the third episode, they're kind of trying to get to the bottom of what exactly is going on, because they only know what they've seen and they don't really know what is happening yet. So it definitely is like there's a little bit of a mystery element, a little obviously like there's a little bit of a sci-fi, no like crazy superpowers-ish yet, kind of a little bit, but not really. And I'm really enjoying it a lot. I'll be excited to keep watching.
Oh, cool. I'm glad to hear it. I'm excited to check this one out. I have on my list of stuff, like The Crown is looming over my head. Because a little behind the scenes secret, I thought I had longer to watch the screeners than I did. So now I'm late on my review. So I have to like binge The Crown really fast. And I also have to watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is, I think we got an ask about that actually, which I really want to catch up on to be able to talk about it. So Runaways is not like on the top of my list, but I have been very excited to check it out. So I have a couple. I just wanted to briefly mention, you know, I talked about Supernatural last week, so I wanted to continue the streak and talk about last week's episode, which was actually cowboy themed, you know, Castiel is back. That's not what I meant. Castiel is back and he is reunited with the boys and they go up on this like cowboy adventure. And I think I really enjoyed this episode, but I didn't think it was as good as the previous episodes this season. You know, I think Supernatural, we're in what, season 13 now? You know, it's been going on for so long. And I think a real downside of having a narrative that kind of repeats itself so much is that you kind of lose the impact of stuff like, you know, like a character dies, everyone thinks they're dead, they mourn them, they grieve for them, then they come back, then they have a big reunion. Like this is kind of a cycle on Supernatural. And so this time they did a really good job, I think, sort of exploring Sam and Dean's grief over losing Castiel and Mary. And to some extent, I think they're still doing a really good job with, especially with Sam and Mary. I think that's playing out really well. And I think it's going to pay off in a really satisfactory way. But I do think for Castiel, you know, it did kind of come to be very significant for Dean. You know, he lost Castiel and he was very upset about it. And then obviously, and then he got him back and then he was like really happy. And like, it seems like all of his problems are solved now. And I kind of felt that was a little bit cheap, but again, it's only one episode, so I'm expecting that they maybe dive a little bit more into this season. But as someone who, like, I really enjoy those kinds of reunion episodes, and I think Supernatural in the past has done really well, particularly with the brothers reuniting, that I was a little bit disappointed by it. And I think the story with Jack is proceeding at a very sort of contrived way. You know, we all know where it's going. We all know he's going to get like seduced by the devil and he's going to have to make a choice at some point. So yeah, not as enjoyable as I would have liked it to be, but I'm still intrigued enough to keep watching. And I'm still, you know, Castiel is possibly my favorite Winchester, if I may be so bold. So I'm happy that he's back, and I'm happy to see him slot back in with the brothers. So yeah. And then the second one, I just wanted to mention really briefly that I caught up with the Mindy Projects for its series finale. This was a show, I know that Merrima's really into it. It was a show that I really, really enjoyed. I binged a couple of seasons, like maybe the first three or four seasons a while back, and I really loved it. And the reason I stopped watching was because all of, like, I kind of feel the same way, actually, about the Mindy Projects as I do about Supernatural, that the show is kind of defined by its secondary cast, you know, because I like Mindy a lot and I really like Danny, and then Danny left and there was only Mindy left, and I really don't like any of the other characters. I think Mindy Project was a really interesting show, and I certainly really enjoyed Mindy herself, but yeah, the secondary cast just never worked for me. So, and I think when I watched this finale, it was nice, you know, we got our happy ending, spoiler alert, and it was very, very nice, but I'm not going to go back and watch the show, I think. I think, you know, there's enough to watch, and I think Mindy Kaling certainly is someone that I really admire and that I really am going to look forward to seeing her career take off from here. But yeah, Mindy Project kind of had a secondary cast issue for me, so. So, yeah, but I will be excited to hear any listener thoughts. If you guys are fans, if you checked out the finale, if you thought it wrapped up in a satisfactory way, then let us know, and we will bring it up next week. You didn't watch Mindy Project, right?
I did, but I haven't caught up with it, and I haven't seen the series finale.
Okay.
Yeah. But
luckily, I didn't, like, give
it
specifics.
It kind of lost me in the middle.
Yeah, same.
Which is unfortunate, because I love Mindy Kaling, but...
Same. Yeah. All right, so we're going to head on into listener feedback now, and we have our first comment. It's actually from hypeable.com. Yay, the comment section is alive.
Melissa says, I was wondering if either of you have read The Book of Dust yet. I'm trying to decide whether I should do a His Dark Materials reread before I jump into the new one. It's been years. I don't want to miss forgotten details about the originals, but then again, this is a prequel, and I'd like to think I ought to be able to read it on its own. I seem to recall you guys being pretty excited about the new book, but I haven't heard you mention it since its release. Would love a discussion somewhere down the line because you don't have much on your plate already. Wink!
What? Yeah, I mean, this is, oh my gosh, this is actually kind of like a little bit of a side note, but as you guys know, I've been doing my university dissertation and I've been finishing up my degree and I have a couple of extra jobs and, you know, I'm trying to juggle it all. And this is kind of, I've been putting off reading it because I wanted to wait until I had the time. And now, you know, I just got my results today. I'm heading, you know, into new stuff, and I'm not going to be less busy, but now is actually the time when I'm going to get my hands on the Book of Dust. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to allow myself to read it. So I'm sorry that I don't have anything for you yet. I was so excited when it was announced, but I kind of do want to take my time with it a little bit, and I will definitely have a review up on the show when I've read it. I'm sorry that wasn't more helpful. I'll have to find time in between all our frantic Merlin stuff.
I know. I've kind of been the same way. And I was thinking that maybe perhaps, although we're already getting to that time of the year, I would read it during the holidays, you know, December. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it slows down a little bit so that I'll be able to read it. But I think that you make a good point that perhaps it should be able to be read on its own. Although I do think that maybe if all of the material is fresh in your mind, you might be able to catch a few Easter eggs.
Mm.
I would also, even though she's not on the show anymore, tweet Marima because I know that she picked this up and she reads super fast. Most likely, mm-hmm. She's already done with it. So if you tweet at her.
I think she is done with it.
Yeah, I think she's just twitter.com/Marima White. So her full name, you'll be able to find her pretty easily, I'm sure. I'm sure she would love to give you a breakdown of that. She's still pretty active on there, even though she's not on our show anymore. So
good point. All right, moving on to tweets now. We have a couple of people have written in to us. And the first one is Gabby, who says, I'm watching Buffy for the first time and making my way through season 3. But I have a question, so I figured I'd ask the experts. Can I just watch Buffy, or do I need to watch Angel as well? This is a good question. Mm. And I already kind of answered it a little bit on Twitter, but I'm curious to know what you think about it as well, Pam, because I know people have very different opinions. The short answer is no, you don't. There is surprisingly little. The first two seasons, Buffy season 4 and Angel season 1, do have a fair amount of crossover. But beyond that, there is a surprisingly small amount of crossovers. There are a couple, but they are kind of bonus as opposed to being directly tied together. You know, there's no Earth X crossover in Angel and Buffy. And that had something to do with the fact that they switched, you know, Buffy switched its network after season 5 and Angel stayed on the WB and Buffy moved to UPN. So it was not very easy to merge the two of them. And also just they really, really have very separate storylines. You know, there's nothing will be lost of your enjoyment of Buffy if you don't watch Angel. However, this is not as short as I thought it was going to be. Sorry. However, Angel is a pretty good show. At least, you know, seasons 2 and 3 are very, very good. And in some ways, I would never say that Angel was better than Buffy. But in some ways, there is some high quality storytelling going on that kind of transcends Buffy in some ways. And the problem with Angel is that I think the quality, and this is not just my opinion, this is fact, the quality changes dramatically from season to season. So if you're, Gabby, if you're watching Buffy and you like Buffy and you just want to watch Buffy, then maybe watch season 4 and season 1 of Angel sort of concurrently, or at least give Angel a bit of a try. Angel is a little bit more of a noir show. It's a little bit more of a procedural show. It might kind of put you off at first, but give it a chance, because there's a chance you might like it. And if you find that you aren't into it, then you don't lose anything by just watching Buffy. But if you do find that you do like it, then obviously that's a plus, because you found another show that you like. And there are some really good characters and arcs and stuff on there, especially in the first, like, seasons 1 to 3, I would say, are definitely worth your time. And that's all I got to say about that. And depending on how you feel about the season 7, if you don't watch Angel, if you watch the season 7 finale of Buffy, then get back to me how you feel, because then you might want to watch the 5th season of Angel. Who knows? Enjoy Buffy, though. I would love to hear what you think of it. It is my forever show. And now I want to hear what Pam thinks.
I would say you do not have to watch Angel to watch Buffy. Mm-hmm. I did not watch Angel, and I love Buffy. And I don't feel like I missed anything.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm not... And the reason is, well, obviously, I think I've said this before. I was watching Buffy when it was airing, like Selena, and Angel just didn't grab my attention, because I don't really care very much for procedurals. It has to be a really specific kind of procedural for me to be really invested. And yeah, so it was really easy to just drop that. So
yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to, right. and you don't miss anything. And at some point, maybe I'll go back and watch them in conjunction with each other. But I think just mm-hmm. for your first time through, since, like Selena said, you seem to be enjoying Buffy, watching that on its own is great. And then maybe on your rewatch, you can kind of sprinkle in some Angel in there. I think that's what I would do. I'll end up doing next time I do a Buffy rewatch. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
We have a tweet here from Olivia who says, this is actually for us and for MuggleCast, our sister show-ish. We're on the same network.
Yes, we are on exactly the same level as well.
A much bigger sister. Please, please, please tell me y'all are coming to LeakyCon this year, 2018 Dallas. It is my first con, and I would be heartbroken without a panel, or at least a meetup. Aww. Hashtag fan for life. Olivia, I wish I could
believe
go.
It or not, they did not invite us.
I know. So. How dare they?
I am shook to my
take
core.
It up with LeakyCon.
Yeah. Request. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if MuggleCast is going or not. You can ask them. If you don't hear back, we can bug them for you and find out. But one of my first and only cons that I ever went to was LeakyCon 2012 in Chicago. And it was such a good time. They did actually ask me to come that time for Game of Thrones. It was wonderful. Like, LeakyCon, obviously it's been a few years since then, but the atmosphere there, the positivity, the enthusiasm. Harry Potter is special. You know, Harry Potter is always going to be special, and the fandom for Harry Potter is always going to be special. And I think this is a great choice for your first ever con, because you're going to have a fantastic time. Fantastic, no pun intended, whether or not we are there.
Yeah. When is LeakyCon in Dallas? Let's see.
I don't know. It was just in Ireland. My friend. And I was very offended that nobody called
me. Yeah. August 10th through the 12th. I wouldn't be able to go anyway. I have a thing on the 8th. I'll be in LA. But I have a lot of friends that are involved in LeakyCon. My friend Abby is, she works for Mischief Managed. And there's some really great people that are doing things, that do things behind the scenes all year round to make LeakyCon and everything else that they put on a possibility. I've never been to any of the LeakyCons, but my first ever con was Azcatraz in 2009 in San Francisco. And that's where I met my very best friend. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, not 2018 Aww. To 2019. Yeah, so it's just such a magical, like, again, like, no pun intended, but it is, like, such a magical experience just to be among so many people that think the same way you do, that obsess over the same things you do. And I hope that you have, like, the best time. And even though we won't be at this one, I'm sure at somewhere down the line we'll be in the same place. And we would love to meet you if that ever happens.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Write in and let us know how you like it. I know it's, like, a year away, but make sure to keep us posted on how your experience goes.
Yuki says, catching up on hype. guys, there's a hypeable app. But also, a Hunger Games theme park sounds really violent. So like, how much of the main action slash plot can you ignore to make it happy enough for a theme park? Yeah, that's a good point. She also says, this is what my first reaction to Johnny Depp's Grindelwald was. Why does he look like Billy Idol? I think it was Pam who said he looked like Spike from Buffy last time, and definitely as well some Billy Idol with the bleached hair. I see it.
Yeah, and then we have one last tweet here from Laura who says, can you let us know when we should have Merlin seasons done by? Like, should we start season one now? Oh, this is a loaded question. We won't be doing what we've done in the past for The 100 and for Gilmore Girls with Merlin because Selena and I...
We're so extra, you guys, about this show.
We need more space. So we will be watching a few episodes at a time, and we'll let you guys know what those are. You can, Laura, if you want to get a jump start, you can totally start watching now, or you can wait for us. I think our plan is to do one episode for the first episode and two for the second.
Yeah, right. Like, we're definitely gonna try to make this more of a slow watch along as opposed to, like Pam said, binging the season. So there's absolutely no, like, we won't judge you or anything if you just want to get started and kind of watch season one, and then you can go back and enjoy our discussions. But if you do want to be on the same level with us, then yeah, like Pam said, then maybe you should hang on. We're finalizing the plan right now, and we are getting ready to start recording and planning and how often we can put out these shows, because obviously this will be something... And that's a little bit like of housekeeping, but this will be something that we're going to be doing concurrent with the weekly hype shows, as well as with the bonus stuff that we do for the Patreon. And for patrons, there is going to be some exclusive Merlin rewatch content, but it's going to be on top of our episode discussions. So the episode discussions will be available to everybody. And then there will be bonus content for Merlin for the Patreon. So what I'm trying to say is it might be broken up a little bit more. Like, we probably won't have an episode out every week because we have this show to do every week. We might try to do every other week. We might try to spread it out more. We haven't completely figured that out yet. But we want to make sure that we give every part of the show and every episode the space that it deserves. And that means sometimes doing a single episode discussion if it's worth it, sometimes putting a few of them together, and there will be content for a long time, and we're very, very, very excited, and we hope that you are too, and we would love your feedback if you have any suggestions for us or any, you know, anything that you would like us to do in particular with this, because we just want to have a good time. We just want to watch Merlin with you guys and nerd out about Camelot and magic.
But also, we know ourselves and we know we're going to need time.
Yeah, that too. Nerd out like responsible adults with too many podcasts.
Hey, if it's not hurting anybody.
Exactly.
Should we get to some emails?
Absolutely. We have two emails to get through this week. And the first one comes from Lauren McGinnis, who says, hi, girls. I am a longtime listener, first time writer from Adelaide, Australia. After you mentioned it on an episode ages ago, I got around to reading the Shoebox Project fanfiction. I don't normally read fanfiction, but with the lack of a Marauder story otherwise, I thought I'd give it a go. And thanks very much for the recommendation. This is officially my headcanon, and I no longer need a J.K. Rowling Marauder story. I'm also really looking forward to rewatching Merlin with you. I used to listen to Talks of Camelot and still remember listening to your first reactions to the finale. Are you guys going to have someone else on the podcast that will be watching it for the first time, like Selena did for Gilmore Girls? Thank you for all the great work with the podcast. Currently, we don't have any plans to bring people on, but it is something that we haven't really talked about yet because we're still planning it out, but it is definitely something that we are considering. I feel like you sparked some ideas Lauren, that we will need to discuss.
Yeah. This is also probably good. We're not explaining this, but I feel like we're going to have to dedicate like an entire mini episode to explain how this is going to go. But it's also a good time to mention that if you will be watching for the first time and you're going to be going at your own pace, then you don't have to worry about spoilers. We're going to be very conscious of that just because in terms of the longevity of our discussion, we want to make sure that it's evergreen so that if somebody comes to a Merlin we watch in a year, you know, they don't feel like they have to watch all five seasons to start with episode one.
Exactly.
And we have another email here from Stephanie Merrill who says, "Hey, hype ladies, I've been watching BBC's Merlin." I'm spotting a trend, Selena. I love it.
Yes.
"I've been watching BBC's Merlin and I have also managed to get my entire family hooked." Good job, Stephanie. "While watching season one, episode Excalibur, my nephew had some feelings on the end. He objected pretty hard to swords being thrown in water. I managed to record his epic minute-long rant, pretty good for a 4.5-year-old, and some bonus background giggling from myself and my sister and our dad egging him on from another room. Not gonna lie, I'm such a proud fandom auntie. Hope you
this
enjoy." And she
so
sent it over.
Funny.
I haven't listened to this. I'm going to listen
to
this as soon as
we finish.
Oh my
God, you need to.
Oh, I'm so excited.
This made my day. This is so funny. Like, little Matthew is hysterically funny and he is so mad about the sword being thrown in a lake. And let's be real, he's right, you know? That was a stupid spoiler alert. That was dumb. And we're really getting started on our spoilers, but it's okay because Matthew is super cute when he's very, very mad about this. So I'm with him. I think that is a fair thing to be mad about. And I love that he's being indoctrinated in fandom so early, by the way. I think that's very admirable. I think you're a good aunt, Stephanie. And that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who has written in. If you want to contribute to the discussion, you can do that by emailing us, hype@hypeable.com. You can find us on Twitter @hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram @hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. You can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypeable.com. And if you want to check out our Patreon, where we do weekly bonus discussions as well as videos and soon to be Merlin bonus content, you can do that patreon.com/hypepodcast, and you can contribute $2 every month and then you get all of the special features. So we hope to see you over there. And as Pam said, we will be giving you more clear instructions on how our Merlin rewatch is going to go. It's very close now to us having figured it all out, and we just want to like include you guys in the process, but just don't worry, we will have something solid to present to you within the next couple of weeks of how it's going to play out. So get excited. And until next week, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody who celebrates, and have a wonderful week, no matter if you celebrate or not. And we will see you back here for episode 169. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I have to fix my door because it's making a noise.
It's the ghost of Thanksgiving past.
And Thanksgiving future. Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
I like your song. We don't have a Thanksgiving song.
There should be a Thanksgiving song.
I know. There's a Thanksgiving Charlie Brown movie that probably has a song. I don't know.